One of the high points for me in a meeting like this, the IC, or any point when a lot of international people come together, the high point for me is the relationships. I know it's the same for all of you. And to that, it's the diversity. I really enjoy that we can share relationships in this diversity. I like some years ago what Donald said, that we embrace and we celebrate diversity. I really like those phrases, but to me, I'm not sure if this is appropriate English, but I just freak out. I mean, I enjoy diverse relationships, diversity. Even the situation where I come from, we have a lot of diversity. It's not just the feel-good thing. True, we feel good, but to me personally, it has enriched my understanding and experience of the kingdom life. I don't know whether it's the reason for diversity or the result of diversity. I don't know. But for us, we will embrace and celebrate diversity because it enriches my experience of Jesus Himself. And I really want to thank each one of you for this. I thank you for having me here. Neil asked me to share some thoughts, a devotion on the transforming power of the gospel. And he said, don't mess it up.
Thanks.
Yeah. And I think the transforming power of the gospel is clearing up the mess in my life. Continues to clear up the mess. And only I know as I stand before you the mess in my life. I want to share, it's just a personal reflection. I'm not attempting to open up this topic or anything like that. I wouldn't know how to do that. I just want to share to you from my heart this morning. And it may help you to pray for me. And in the process, I trust it will also bless us. A picture that comes to my mind when I think of what Jesus has done for me. I like pictures. I like the stories in the Gospels. I want to take you to a real story. It's not a parable, a real thing. In Luke chapter 7. And it's interesting that when Luke arranges this account of his, he has placed this story when people are wondering who Jesus is, when John the Baptist himself is wondering if who Jesus is, and Jesus is saying, John came but you refused him, then I came and you call me a drunkard and a glutton, a friend of sinners and tax collectors. And then he says, but wisdom is proved right by her children. And soon after that, Luke opens out this story. I'm quite touched by that. It's the story of Jesus being invited to the home of Simon. Simon invites Jesus home. And Jesus is there. And I believe all the disciples are there. And a lot of other guests are there. So it must be a big party. It must be a wonderful party. And Simon has called Jesus home. I want you to feel the smell of kebab. Lamb kebab. And the sweat of the disciples. And then there is something happening there. I walk into this situation. And I can't imagine how it would have looked when it actually happened. And here is this woman who is standing or kneeling by Jesus' feet, weeping. And her tears wipe Jesus' feet. Her hair, probably she had long hair. She's wiping Jesus' feet with her hair. It's all happening there. And I try to put myself in that situation and feel with it. What is it that is happening here? And Jesus is relaxed. Simon isn't. And I don't think anybody else is. And I might as well add, the woman is also relaxed. We don't know her name, but she has a very interesting name. She's called the sinful woman. And Jesus is so loving, and he pays attention to Simon. He says, Simon, I want to ask you something, because he knew what Simon was thinking. I'm sure we all know the story. Simon is wondering if he made a mistake inviting Jesus. He probably had some regard for Jesus. And then Jesus asks a simple question that caught my attention very much. You know the question. He says, Simon, I just want to ask you a small thing. He says, a man owed, maybe $5,000. Another one owed $500. And the banker decided to pardon it off. Who do you think will love the banker more? Such simple question. Spiritual truth is so simple. And Simon said, I assume the one who was written off more, the one who owed more, and he was written off, I'm sure he loved the banker more. And Jesus said, Simon, you got it right. You see this woman here? She loves me because she's been through the experience of forgiveness. And for me, this is a reality in my life. To experience forgiveness is a transforming power of the gospel. To know you're forgiven. And it results in nothing but tears and love for Jesus. It's been a real experience for me. And whatever else I don't understand, I know that I'm forgiven. I understand that. I experience it every day. And to me, that's a tremendous power of the gospel. Nothing else can give me that knowledge, that understanding, that day-to-day feeling. I'm forgiven. Sorry, my lips go dry. Tongue goes dry. Yeah. And what does this come about? I remember as a young person when I first began to understand this. And one of the first things after I came to a realization of forgiveness, there are many other things I did, but one thing I did was, which I remember today, is I wrote a letter to my dad. I was living in another city, and I wrote a letter to my dad, and I said, I have really harmed you, so please forgive me. And there was no reply, So I didn't know what happened, but there was no reply. But I just shared my heart out. But I know my dad forgave me because he had that letter for over 20 years. And one day, without my knowledge, I heard him reading it out to my niece. So I'm just overwhelmed with that. The experience of forgiveness is real. There's nothing else apart from Jesus who can forgive us. I'm sorry. Okay, what do I do with this great experience? The reality of love and forgiveness. What do I do with this? I think to me, where Jesus caught my attention in life, in the teamwork, I turn around to another story. And this time it's from Matthew. It's Matthew 18. Peter and Jesus are having a chat. Again, Matthew has organized this in such a way that it's coming after the Sermon on the Mount and relationships, the kingdom. And here is this problem with a brother who is refusing to agree. Okay, and then he goes on. And Peter asks Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35. He says, okay, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? So Jesus says, oh no, it's 70 times seven or whatever. And then Jesus gives him another story. He says, let me tell you what the kingdom of heaven is like. And another very simple story. Here was a king who had subjects. And one of his subjects owed him millions of dollars. That's what the NIV footnote says. And the king decided to settle the account, and he found out that one of his subjects owed him several million dollars. He says, call him up, pay up. And the subject, you know, he pleads for mercy. He says, you know, I kind of find it funny. He says, I will pay you back. There's no way, man, you can pay that back. Millions of dollars, you know, how many years are you going to work to pay that back? Anyway, he says, I'll pay you back. Have mercy on me. Don't take away my wife and my children. Please don't take away. Have mercy on me. And then the king says, okay. Okay. Yeah, it's over. It's over. And then he goes out and he finds one of his servants, of whoever, subject, who owed him a few dollars. And he says, pay up. And the guy says, hey, hold on, I will pay you back. I'm sure he could have paid back those few dollars. No big deal. But legally, he couldn't pay back at that time. So legally, this friend was entitled to put him to prison. He said, no, sorry, I'm going to put you, your wife, everybody into prison. And he put him into prison. And you know the story that the king heard about this and says, hey, come here. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. The others complained. And he says, what did I do for you? And why couldn't you have mercy on your servant? And that statement that comes very strongly, that he says, I'll throw you into prison. And then Jesus says in verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. It's the gospel that helps us not only to receive forgiveness, but to give forgiveness. This is the beauty. This is the power of the gospel. I'll come back to this again. I just want to repeat this. I have received forgiveness from God and I'm deeply grateful. It's almost an energy that drives me. It's just that I'm forgiven, I'm grateful. As Paul says, I'm the worst of sinners. I'm the least of the apostles. The tremendous sense of gratitude of being forgiven. The experience of the grace of God, the transformation the gospel brought into his life. The beauty of the gospel is that I can experience forgiveness from my brothers, from my wife. I have experienced forgiveness. My wife has forgiven me. And she never even thinks about it. I mean, just like how God forgives me. And he never, I mean, it doesn't feature anymore. And it's so beautiful that my wife can do that to me. I have experienced that. I mean, I worked with John for 26, 27, I don't know how many years. I have received forgiveness from John. Not one day did he pull me up for anything. You mean to say in 26 years I haven't offended him? I haven't done a mistake with John? And when we have lived so intimately and intensely involved in chaotic situations, you mean to say I've never offended him? I mean, he's just forgiven me. And I didn't even, I mean, I've experienced that. And I'm grateful to God. I can experience this from here, people here. I'm sure many of you here have forgiven me in our relationships. I have good relationships with several here. This is the transformation of the gospel that I believe is so rich to me that I can receive forgiveness from my brother. Not only from God, I can have that release. And therefore, God gives me this responsibility and this ability. It's only from the gospel that I can look at someone and say, I have forgiven you from my heart. Relax. It's okay. It's not going to come in between us anymore. I assure you, because not because I'm good, because the power of the gospel is at work in you and in me. It's wonderful. I want to take this a little bit into our context, because many a time, the amazing power of the gospel is that it transcends culture. It can go deep into our lives. Our human nature, our culture covers a lot of things. For example, in India, the context where I come from, if a man asks his wife for forgiveness, he's not a man, you know. I mean, that's not done, man. I mean, that's how the system is. The wife is supposed to take it. And the other way around, the first time when I asked Prabha to forgive me, she wasn't sure what happened, because it's within her to just take it and suffer with it and not confront her husband with it. It's just our culture. But the gospel transcends, it cuts into all these things. And it transforms relationships. The intimate husband-wife relationship is transformed, because I can forgive my wife and she can forgive me. I can ask her for forgiveness and she forgives me from the heart. In our culture, an older man, there is no asking for forgiveness from a younger person. And it doesn't come in. It's not on the radar. But when the gospel comes into our life, in my own life, I have asked my son for forgiveness, because I have hurt him. I have done him wrong. He was confused. I said, son, Nitin, I love you, but I know I've offended you. Please forgive me. He said, Dad, I don't know what that means. I don't know what. So I said, it's okay, but I want you to know that I feel bad. So before God, Puneet, one of our friends in the ministry, in our work, he's 62 years old. And he asks me for forgiveness because of something he did. That is not done in our culture. He need not have asked me for it, and everything would have been fine. But the transforming power of the gospel is that we experience God's forgiveness, we give it, we receive it in our relationships. And to me, this is amazing. I mean, to me, this is fills me with gratitude and fills me with hope that our relationships can be like what God wants us to be. It gives me hope. It doesn't matter what culture we belong to, whether it's the postmodern culture or the medieval predated culture that I come from. Whatever, I'm not saying this with any negative connotation, please. I'm just saying the diversity. That's all. It's not a negative thing that I'm saying. Any culture, any context, when the gospel seeps in, there is hope for pure relationships. There is hope. There is the reality of forgiveness. There is the reality of experiencing and working together. And this honors God, I believe. It honors God. And this, I believe, will advance the gospel of the kingdom into the nations. In our culture, we have sorted out many difficult issues regarding the work. Issues, you know what I mean? How do we get this done? What about this? What about that? And big, big issues. The Lord has helped us to do it. But the point where we have had the most amount of struggle is in forgiveness, in relationships. We have struggled with relationships. And every time the power of the gospel has broken there, the gospel has advanced. Nachappa, a dear friend of mine, a few of you here have met him. He was not talking with his four brothers for more than 8 years because of a piece of land that was not distributed properly, you know, the family inheritance. He came to faith. He was the eldest. He felt hurt that the younger ones had hurt him. The elder one, that's why I said in our culture, the eldest in the family, he went to his brother's house. He said, come, let's talk. I ask for forgiveness. I don't want the piece of land, but I love you. Can we talk? And out of those four brothers, one of them has come to the Lord. The others are still considering. But this is a power that worked in Nachappa's life, just to go and ask for forgiveness and to forgive his brothers. When we have done that, the gospel has gone forward. And I want to say that we are guilty in many occasions when we have not done it and we have suffered. We have lost the advance of the gospel. In a town, two brothers, the growth of the gospel was fantastic. We would be sharing this story about what happened in this town in many places. Two brothers came to faith. Their children came to faith. 25 other families in that town came to faith. Today, it's a sad story because those two brothers had a problem and they could not forgive each other. I've sat with these two brothers and pleaded with them, please forgive. They say, no, he's hurt me very deeply. This is not done. He has to come and ask me for forgiveness. I go to the other brother and say, please. He says, no. And you know what? It's just over a piece of land again. Property. And the gospel, we weep over it. The gospel just the people, it's sad. Okay? I don't want to take more time on it. And I just want to share this from my heart. I believe that the transforming, one of the things about the power of the gospel in our lives is to experience forgiveness. This is something real. I know I'm forgiven. Not only from God, but from my brother, from my wife, from my, you know, whoever. It's so beautiful to experience this forgiveness. And then, it's so beautiful to give forgiveness. I can truly forgive. And I don't take any credit for it as I stand before you. I can truly forgive and live at peace because of the gospel. And one more last thing. In our culture, again I bring in culture because many times the transforming power of the gospel is restricted because we put cultural barriers. Again, in our culture, even the forgiveness thing is like, okay, I do you a favor. Oh, okay, I know you're a lousy guy. It's okay. Just, okay, clear off. You know, that kind of forgiveness. Oh, it's okay. Just don't see me again. I've written it off. That's fine. So you forgive from a higher platform. He is the offender. I am the releaser. But when I look at what Jesus has done and what he asked me to do, is you don't forgive from a platform, but you forgive from your knees. Because I tell him, hey, listen, this is nothing. Relax. I have received forgiveness which I couldn't pay back. What you're doing is nothing. It's those few dollars. I have received forgiveness for millions of dollars which I couldn't have paid back. So I have learned to forgive, not as a holy person, but as a sinner, saved by grace. I don't know if you can see this, but to me this is something very strong. When I forgive, I'm not doing a favor to that person. I'm only expressing my gratitude to God who forgave something that I could not have paid back. And what this brother has done to me, he has offended me, true. But that's nothing. That's nothing. I can write it off. That's nothing. Because I have experienced a greater forgiveness. So do pray for us and for me that one of the things I really want to do in my relationships is not to have anything against anybody. Yeah, I enjoy that. And I have experienced this not only with brothers who know the Lord, but God gives this amazing power in my work. I mean, everybody knows how difficult it is. You have all experienced this, the kind of injustice, the kind of how you get ripped off at work. And it's okay when they rip you off on money, when they rip you off on character, reputation. They just want to tear you down. How do you survive? And those are the people I want to reach. Those are the people I live with daily. I walk into his office every day and he's ripped me off. Not the money, my character, my credibility at work. What do I do with him? Come and shout at my wife because I'm frustrated? No, I think God, I've gone to God and I said, God, what do I do? And this picture always comes to mind. Peter, I want to tell you a story. I just want to tell you a story. These passages of scripture, these images of scripture just come to mind. And I say, God, give me grace, not as a favor to forgive my boss at work or my colleague at work who has ripped me off. Not as a favor, not as a good believer, but simply out of gratitude for what you have done to me. And I pray this because I live this every day. There's no way I can live this for 20 years and be around. And that is the transforming power of the gospel. You know, Jesus said something radical. Love your enemies. It's radical lifestyle. And please do pray for me. I struggle with this. I have no other problems in understanding scriptural issues. I struggle to have a clean relationship, just to forgive and to ask for forgiveness and to experience it. And I thank Jesus. It's only because of Jesus this is possible. Nothing else can give this. And to me, that's one aspect of the transforming power of the gospel. Thank you.